Welcome to Off the Cuff. I'm your regular guy host, Dean Vitale. Joining us is John Bell, our senior pastor, our lifelong pastor, and the man who's spent his entire life literally studying scripture. And we're going to turn to him like we do every week, and we're going to ask him a question. And that's what we do here on Off the Cuff. We ask John a question that might be on your mind. You might have emailed us. I might have heard it somewhere on the street. It might be a topical subject, something that people are talking about in the news. But today we're going to ask John, what does it mean when the Bible says God created mankind in his image? John?
Yeah. So it actually says, here's the way it says it in Genesis 1:27. It says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So even, you know, our gender, male and female, reflect the image of God. Just prior to that, God is speaking, and in the text it says, let us. And it refers to the fact that that when God is involved, it's the earliest reference to the Trinity, because it's saying, let us. And I know rabbinic thinking explanation there is he's talking to the angels, but it's like, no, angels were not involved in creation. They were spectators, but they were not involved. It was God creating. But he says, let us make man. So there is the sense of not just personhood, but of community. So we were designed for relationship. So the idea of being made in the image of God, typically the way that people answer that is they'll say things like, well, because we're made in the image. And by the way, we're not made in the image of God physically. Why? Because God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Jesus was human. He had a human body. But it's interesting there that Jesus becomes a man. So this spirit being actually becomes a human being and is the perfect human being because he has a perfect sinless spirit, and he's God in the flesh. But when we say it, that in the week of creation that God created man in his image, remember, it's the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, and we're not made in our flesh. Our flesh actually has more characteristics to it of like the animal kingdom. But we are these unique creatures, and we're the only ones like this. You know, angels are pure spirits. Animals are animals. Man is a unique being because he has this physical body like animals, but he also has this spiritual body like angels and like God. But when it says we're made in his image, it's the idea of things like we are moral beings. We have a sense of right and wrong. It's often skewed. Obviously, it gets contaminated. But you know, even the mafia has, they say, this is right and this is wrong. So that sense of morality, our rationality, or our ability to reason, we can actually reason things through. I think that one of the reasons we were given that is not just to create in this world, but also to communicate, which is part of our reasoning, which is, you know, language is unique to man. I mean, animals make sounds, but I mean, we have languages. We can communicate with each other. So it's our ability to reason. It's the fact that we are spiritual beings, which allow us to relate to God. We were made in the image of God. One of the reasons we were made in the image of God is so that we could actually communicate and relate to God. We also have this aesthetic sense. We create things, you know. You don't find monkeys creating a Mona Lisa, right? Mm-hmm. You go down to the zoo today and go to the monkey cage and see what they're creating. But man, If you look around you and see what man is able to do, his creative ability, we were given that creativity by God. Why? Because God is a creator. So we imitate. That's a really big thing. You know, our whole legal system that we have created, justice and what is unjust. Do you know that even capital punishment in Genesis chapter 9, it says the reason that a person's life should be taken from them is because they have shed innocent blood of someone made in the image of God. So, mm-hmm. so just those kinds of things. So those are ways that we're
that's in law, John. That's written law.
Yeah, Genesis 9.
No, I know. I meant secular law, where it's you go to a court and it'll say that's the charge that it shed blood.
Yeah.
Of someone that was created in the image of God.
Yeah, the whole idea of taking life from someone, a murderer taking their life is because it's because they're made in the image of God. That's what. So let me read it to you. I just looked it up. This is Genesis 9:5. It says, "Surely I will require your lifeblood. From every beast I will require it, and from every man, from every man's brother, I will require the life of a man. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made man." So the idea is, when you kill another human being, that's an offense against God, because you are killing an image bearer.
Mm-hmm. So what you're saying, John, is basically everything that makes up humanity, the authority, value, gender, personhood, morality, creativity, love. Mm-hmm. I mean, that all, am I right by saying that's the Imago Dei?
Yeah. Well, Imago Dei, yeah, the image of God. Yeah. Yeah. But everything about us. So this is the way, I love how Ray Stedman describes who we are. He says, we are meant to be image bearers. That is, we are meant to reflect God. Do you know why we're not supposed to create idols? Because idols are an attempt to create an image of God, right? And the reason that God doesn't allow us to do that is because he's already done it. There are nearly 8 billion image bearers of God on this planet. And the image bearers should not be creating images of God, because we're supposed to be the image bearers. And in doing that, with all these things that we've talked about, every time I do something that is a reflection of God, you know, if I'm loving, if I'm patient, if I'm kind, if I'm forgiving, every time I do that, the scripture says you bring glory to God when you do that. Why? Because that's a reflection of who God is. Whenever a characteristic of God shows up in your life and it's demonstrated, and it could be demonstrated, by painting or by speaking or just all the things about God, all of us together, it takes 8 billion, actually in the whole history of the world, like 110 billion people. It takes all those people to reflect all that God is. That's how vast God is.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a lot. I mean, when you really think about it, the image, what a pleasure that we can reflect him, and that's how he wanted it to be, and we're just a small part of that body.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Well, it's again, I was referring to Stedman. What I love about one of the things he says about the way we reflect God, he says, we reflect God in the same way that the moon reflects the sun. And yeah. Well, the moon doesn't have any light of its own. It gets all of its light from, but you see it at night, right?
Right.
Because right. it's reflecting the sun. And there's a story. I mean, they've studied this. They think that the moon actually in creation was created out of a piece, that the moon was created after the earth was created, and that a piece of the earth actually became the moon. I don't want to get into a lot of that.
Right.
But in other words, because there's a lot of things on the moon that are very similar to things that are here on Earth. And mm-hmm. In any case, you know, Stedman goes into a whole thing about a lunar eclipse and a solar eclipse. And there's two ways that we can block the sun out of our lives, but we can also block the moon out of our lives. And when we block the sun out, then we're too earthly. And when we block the moon out, then we really aren't reflecting what we're supposed to be reflecting.
Mm-hmm.
But just that whole idea, we are mirrors. You know, I'm a mirror. God wants to look at me and see a reflection of himself.
Yeah. But we can't make the mistake like, you know, that God is nothing like us. You know, like you said, he's in spirit. He's without a physical body. He always existed, all knowing, all powerful. You know, so we can't get the idea that, you know, we're not made in the image of God in any of these senses.
Well, there are what they call it in theology is, they call it communicable attributes and incommunicable attributes, right? So
yeah, sure.
We have the communicable attributes of God.
Yeah, that's perfect, John. That's good. I never heard that. That's good.
Like intelligence, we have intelligence, yeah. We have language. There are things that we have that actually are like God. We can't say God isn't anything like us. Now, his ways are not like us. But no, humanity is a reflection of God with but we have limitations, as you were saying. God has no limitations at all.
Mm-hmm.
So here are some things that are incommunicable that I don't have that God has. He is all knowing. Can you imagine? You know, one of my dreams is I wish I knew everything. You know, I mean, I just have
that's my nightmare.
No,
it makes my brain hurt.
Yeah, I have a thirst for knowledge. I mean, I really do. I've had it since I was a child, you know? So sometimes it just blows my mind that God knows everything all the time. Like there's the things I know that I have to remember, you know, cause I've forgotten them or I have to think about it again. God never has to do that. Everything is at his fingertips all the time. He can be everywhere at once. I can't. I mean, they call it omnipresent. He's all-knowing, which is omniscience, omnipresent, which is he's everywhere. You can't hide from God. You can't go to the heavens. You can't go to the depths of the earth. Wherever you go, he's there. He's not in nature, but he's everywhere that his eyes run to and fro over the course of the earth. So he's everywhere. And then he's also, omnipotent, which means he's all powerful. So, those are some of the incommunicable attributes of God. And no, human beings don't have those.
Right. Right. I like that definition. That is easy to understand. And it's not confusing like the image, because a lot of times, you know, people, you know, they'll say, well, God, why did God make us? Was he lonely and he needed something to do? You know, I mean, no, he's totally self-sufficient within the Trinity, right? I mean,
here's why God made us. God made us for his glory. We were made for his pleasure. So think of anybody. So our creative ability, like, you're really good at marketing, right? You're just really good at it. And you don't just like, it isn't just a job for you. You know, it's you do it because you love it and it brings you joy.
Yes.
Well, when God created us, that brought him great joy because mankind is this unique being that God has created. And we are the only ones that bear his image. And when we when we actually reflect that, when we reflect his glory, then we're doing what we were designed to do. And that brings him great joy. So it's like, you know, why did he create us? Because he finds great joy in us. But you know, let's go back to the fall. You know, the fall, it defaced us, but it didn't destroy us. In other words, even though we fell, we still kept, but it's a marred image. Our image is fallen. Our image is marred. Our image has been defaced. In other words, we're not what we were supposed to be. Part of the grace of God in Christ Jesus is that we are created to become new creations in Christ Jesus, who are more able to reflect the image of God and more like what we were designed to be. Listen to Colossians 3:10. Paul says, "We have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator." So it's like this. When you come to Christ, you become a new creation, and you become the creation that was intended to be, because that create in your original creation, you were intended to be someone who reflected the image of God.
Yeah, and then what an insult if you're living in a way not to please and glorify him. Because that's why he created you. So you can glorify him and enjoy eternal, intimate, loving relationship with him. And what an insult. Almost like I dare you. I mean, how dare you live in a way that's not pleasing to God? And I'm including myself when I sin like this.
Yeah.
How?
Yeah, imagine a beautiful sculpture or a beautiful painting, and somebody comes in with a hammer or a knife and just slashes the beautiful picture. Well, that's what's happened to us. Like, you can still look at the picture and kind of see, oh, yeah, I can see that was a beautiful picture. But it's been defaced now. And that's what happened to us in the garden. Yeah. But then Jesus comes in and restores that. I mean, that's the whole thing. It's like he comes in and he begins to restore that. That's why transformation is so important.
All right, John, this was great. Even if it was only me, I appreciate it. Really, this was really, this had a lot of clarity for me, because this was one of those areas where, you know, I've read about it and I've seen it, but this was really, you made it very clear. How does it make you feel that you, in fact, were made in the image of God, so you can glorify him and you could enjoy eternal, intimate, loving relationship with him? That should really delight you. So we thank you for listening. You know, we ask you to invite your friends and share this. We're always at AmazingMinistries.com, AmazingMenMinistries.com. If you want to listen to more of these, you know, you simply go up to the tab that says series. You click that, and there'll be a couple of series. And one is Core of a Man that John and I did, and that's our video series for men. And then you'll see our podcast that you're listening to right now, Off the Cuff. And soon you will be seeing Wow Church, and we'll talk about that in future episodes. So thanks for listening. On behalf of lifelong pastor John Bell. I'm Dean Vitale saying we look forward to talking to you next time.